Good evening, everybody. It's afternoon here, but evening there. I can't make out everybody. I see some are joining from, I guess, wherever you may be, and some are together. It looks like all in one capsule. Are we still capsuled? Is that still a thing? Or are we?
Kinda. We got our vaccines last week, so we're using the most of it.
Okay, good. Halavai, you should be able to live life as normally as possible. I think in Israel they're putting a little more stock in the vaccine than they are here, probably. But anyway, thank you for inviting me to speak with you guys. I wish I could be there in person, obviously. But my understanding was you wanted to do like a from the rabbi's desk kind of an interesting shaila that I got recently. That's my understanding. So we'll do with that, and then maybe we'll schmooze a little bit at the end. Maybe we'll open up for some questions or something like that at the end. I'm very jealous of all of you getting to spend so much time in Eretz Yisrael this year, uninterrupted by the normal traveling back and forth and people taking you out to dinner and all of those annoying things that you normally have to worry about. And now you just get to learn Yomim V'Laila, Baruch Hashem. So I'm going to share with you, because we're coming off of Purim last week, so the shaylas that I got last week a lot related to Purim, but not exactly related to Purim. One shayla I got, and you'll tell me which one you want to discuss, a fellow who is in quarantine, you know, like with these COVID shaylas, Rav Asher Weiss just put out his 650-page Tshuvas Corona that he thought would be a perfect time to put it out, because once you've gone through a whole cycle of a whole year, you figure, okay, so I already covered all of the topics that could come up in 1 year. But the Corona Shailas this year are different than the Corona Shailas last year, meaning Purim this year's Corona was different than last year's Purim Corona. Pesach this year is going to be different than last year's Pesach. I don't know if you guys have been discussing, or if Poskim have been discussing, what are you guys going to do about 2 days of Yantif and Pesach? You're not going to come home for Pesach, I assume, because it's risky that you won't be allowed back in the country. So you're there for all Shalosh Regalim. You'll be staying with Israeli families, maybe. So what do you do about 2 days Yantif? I don't know. Well, they're interesting Shailas. These shilas didn't happen last year. Everyone just emptied out, except for KBY. I know there were a few guys that stayed in KBY the whole time last year, but for the most part, most yeshivas emptied out over Pesach. But anyway, with these, so there were some new Corona shilas also. So one Corona shila that came up this Purim was, I got a text from one of these group chats with Rabbanim, where one of the Rabbanim put that he wrote Good Purim, which I guess is now an Eitan Katz song, so it's an expression. I don't remember that being, I always remember Purim Sameach being an expression, but anyway, Good Purim, he wrote. If someone is quarantined and was reading from an old family Megillah, and as they were reading from their old family Megillah, it separated during the Kriya, the Megillah of Mamish fell apart in their hand, do they need to find another Kriya to listen to, or were they Yotzei, even though the Megillah separated mid-Kriya? So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, I also found interesting. A friend of mine texted me that his daughter has a friend. His daughter is a very nice, frum young lady, and she has friends who are very nice, frum young women, and she was at shul on Purim morning. Now, I don't know if you remember how it works in different shuls and different communities. On Purim morning, like, there's a shmua on the street, like, what kind of minyan to expect, you know? Like, the minyan that normally davens shachris in 18 minutes on a regular weekday, you know, on Purim morning is going to have a kriyas ha-megillah that takes no longer than 18 minutes. And, you know, all together with shachris and kriyas ha-torah and everything else, they'll have you out of there, you know, in 35 minutes, you know? And yet, there are other places that daven normally. And, other places that daven a long davening. So this young woman, a very frum young woman, ended up at a minyan that she was unaware was going to be moving as quickly as they did. And she was davening Shmona Esrei on Purim morning, and in middle of her Shmona Esrei, she realized they were about to start Kriyas HaMegillah. So she didn't know what to do, because they were starting Kriyas HaMegillah, which means she was davening Shmona Esrei through Vayavo Amalek, through Kriyas HaTorah. It's a nice long Shmona Esrei. I'll get you the Shidduch resume if you're interested. But that was it's quite a Shmona Esrei that she was davening, and then she realized in the middle of Shmona Esrei they were about to start the Megillah. So she didn't know what to do. So she froze a little bit. So she stopped in the middle of Shmona Esrei, stood in place, listened to the entire Shmona Esrei, to the entire Megillah rather, and then when the Megillah was over, she continued her Shmona Esrei from where she left off. So now she wants to know, Aleph, does she have to repeat Kriyas HaMegillah? And Beis, does she have to repeat Shemona Esrei? Right, those are her two shaylas. And Gimel, does what should she have done? Meaning that's what she did, because a lot of these shaylas that come up, you don't have time to ask a shaylah, or you're not able to ask a shaylah when they come up. You have to ask retrospectively. By the way, like most of the tshuva svarim that we have from the Chasam Sofer and the Neid Biyuda and the Shaul Lameshiv and Shlomo Kluger, they're all about those kinds of things. Other than Heter Agunos, they're all retrospectively, because what would happen? You would have a shaylah to ask. Your local rabbi wasn't sure, so you would send it to one of the Gedolei Adar, and then 3 months later, you might get a response. 3 months later, you ask the Hilchos Pesach Shaila, what's 3 months later going to do for you? Okay, you'll know for next year. That's the way all the tshuvas were written. They weren't really, Rav Asher Weiss pointed this out yesterday when he was talking to us. He said that very often that's the way the tshuvas were written. The role of the community rabbi used to be very important, because when you actually needed to know what to do, that's who you would turn to. There wasn't always instant communication with Gedolei HaPoskim. But be that as it may, sometimes even a community rabbi won't help you because you're a middle Shemona Esrei. What are you supposed to do? So I'm reminded of the time I got a shaila once. A rabbi told me that on Yom Kippur, or maybe it was Rosh Hashanah, the chazan from Musaf motioned for the rabbi to come over in middle of Chazaras Hashatz. And the chazan turned to the page in his machzor where Asher Yatzar was. And he started pointing to Asher Yatzar. And the rabbi's like, Asher Yatzar? No, you shouldn't say Asher Yatzar. What are you talking about? You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei. And he's like, he's pointing to Asher Yatzar. He's like, oh, he needs to go to the bathroom. And he's l'chazen, and he's in the middle of Chazar Shatz. Okay, so you have sometimes where it's a middle Shemona Esrei that you can ask a shayla. But that was this woman's shayla. So those are the two shaylas. We have the Megillah that fell apart in the person's hand, and the young lady who was in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei decided to stop middle Shemona Esrei, listen to the entirety of Kriyas HaMegillah, and then continue the Shemona Esrei. So she wanted to know if she's Yotzei Shemona Esrei, if she's Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah, and what should she have done in given that situation. So is there a preference as to which one we should discuss? I guess I'll address the room that's full of people and not the, or anybody. Two, I see some twos in the air. Yeah, twos. Okay, so I guess we're going to discuss shaila number two. Okay, so new, anyone have what to suggest? Well, what sugya? Where do I look? How do we answer such a shaila? Just excuse me, it's like 1,000 degrees in my office. I'm going to have to take off my jacket. I don't know how the heat works in this place. Okay, anyway, so what sugya do we look at? What's considered a hefsek in Shemona Esrei, right? I mean, is a hefsek of zman enough of a hefsek in Shemona Esrei? Because there's two types of hefsek, right? There's hefsek in zman, and then there's being mafsek by doing or saying something. I once had another shayla. A rabbi told me that he was in shul on Yom Kippur, and in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, they heard the chandelier rattling in the shul, and everyone looked up and they saw that there was a squirrel running around in the chandelier, and then the squirrel landed in the shul, and it wasn't middle of Chazaras Hashatz, it was the middle of silent Shemona Esrei, and everyone ran out because they were afraid of the squirrel. So everyone ran out of the shul. So the shaila was, can they continue once they get outside? Can they continue from where they're up to in Shemona Esrei? So that's a hefsek of not zman, not speaking. It's just movement that they went to a different place, right? So that's certainly one thing we're going to have to look into. I'm getting feedback on the Zoom from the large room of people. Is there a way to maybe just mute? Oh, thank you. So that's that shaila. One issue. What else do we have to talk about over here, other than how much of a hafsik Shemona Esrei is a hafsik, how much of a hafsik Uzman is a hafsik? So I think another thing you have to discuss is whether you could be Yotzei another mitzvah right in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Does it work like that? Can you be Yotzei another mitzvah? What exactly is Shomer Kohona? How does it work? So it happens to be that there's an interesting discussion. And then we can talk about whether Kriyas HaMegillah is different than other Shomei Ka'oneh. Is Kriyas HaMegillah maybe not a regular Shomei Ka'oneh Inyan? Right? That's one of the explanations as to why it is that we discourage, we hold the Chachila, women should not read the Megillah for men, other than the public policy issues and, you know, slippery slope and all of that stuff, which is real. That stuff is real. But other than that, there's the issue of halachically, like very strictly halachically, that a number of the achronim write that women do not have the same chiyuv of Kriyas HaMegillah that men have. Whether it be because you assume that women are only chayiv in Mikra Megillah on a derabbanan level, whereas men are chayiv midivrei Kabbalah, because we darshan from Psukim in the Megillah that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah. So whereas women are only chayiv mishamafein hayibos anes. Oh, this is a Psachim issue, right? The Gemara in the 10th Parak of Psachim talks about Afei No Yibos HaNes, and Tosfos over there discusses whether Afei No Yibos HaNes can apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? Tosfos wants to know, why don't we say Afei No Yibos HaNes by Sukkah? Women are put from Sukkah, why not say Afei No Yibos HaNes that they're chayiv in Sukkah? So, or why do I even need a limud to... The Gemara, the assumption is that Gzeres Shavah Tezvav would have been mechayiv them in Sukkah, but Kol Ezrach BYisrael Yeshu B'Sukkos, we have a limud to tell me that they're pater. So, but what about Afei No Yibos HaNes? So Tosfos has two deos whether Afei No Yibos HaNes can apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa or cannot apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, and if it does apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, is it a mechayiv midoraisa? There's a third day in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yosef Yishu Yerushalayim in Maseches Megillah. So it could be that women are only chayiv mikra megillah midrabanan, because the mechayiv of Afei No Yibos HaNes may only be a mechayiv midrabanan, even if it does apply to a mitzvah d'oraisa, it may only be a mechayiv midrabanan. And we know Afei No Yibos HaNes applies to mikra megillah, so if it applies to a mitzvah midivrei kabbalah, it might only be mechayiv them on a lesser level, on a d'rabanan level. Or other achronim suggest that no, women are not chayiv in mikra megillah, women are chayiv in shmias megillah. They don't have to say the megillah, and therefore if a woman is saying a bracha and Megillah, and only women are being Yotze, the bracha should be on Lishma Megillah. It should not be on Mikra Megillah. So maybe that makes a difference in the sugya of Shomei Ka'oneh. So let's maybe back up a step and look a little bit at the sugya of Shomei Ka'oneh. Chazal tell us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Kala Brachas Kula Nafal Pi She Yatza Motzi, that whenever you have a bracha, even if you already Yotze that bracha, you could still be Motzi other people. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah quotes a halacha, Shomea Ke'one. Right, that's a famous phrase. It's known as a whole sugya now, but it's a line in the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah that Shomea is considered Ke'one Sukkah Daf Lamed Chesamid Beis. That's why. The Gemara says in the context of Halal, and Rashi over there writes that She'en Yodea Lo Likros V'Lo Lanus Im Shema V'Kiva Libo L'Shmoa Avu B'Shalawana Yatza, that when if you don't know how to say it yourself and you hear from someone who does know how to say it and you have Kavana to be Yotze when they say it, so if you have that Kavana, you're going to be Yotze. So there are a number of Sveikos that come up from this Halacha. What if a person hears Kaddish or Kedusha in middle of Shemona Esrei? Is he allowed to be Mafsik in middle of Shmona Esrei when he hears Kaddish Kedusha by listening to the Kaddish Kedusha? Do we assume that, oh, that's going to ruin the whole Shmona Esrei? So we're familiar with that sugya. Rashi in Masechta Sukkah writes that v'chein mispalim b'tzibur, if someone is davening b'tzibur, v'shatz omer Kaddish o yeheshmei rabba, and the shliach tzibur is up to Kaddish or yeheshmei rabba, yishtuku b'tfilasam v'yishmu b'kavana. One should be silent in the tefila, stop davening, and just listen. V'areim ke'onim. I'm not allowed to actually answer in middle Shmona Esrei, but I could be ke'onah. I could listen and shomea ke'onah. Fractises in Maseches Sukkah. What on earth are you talking about? The Gemara writes in Maseches Brachos. Actually, let's leave out for a moment what exactly the kasha is. But Tosfos Maseches Sukkah points out that that seems to be against a Gemara in Maseches Brachos. And in fact, Tosfos writes that. Virach, viri, hayomrim da adraba, ishomea kaona, have a saka im shosek. If Shomea is Ke'ona and you were to just sit there listening, then you were just mafsik because it's Ke'ona. You actually said it. And then tells us, like, throw something in there. Oh, and by the way, the minig is to do against what I just said and Gadol HaMinog. It's always fascinating. Like, how do you deal with that? You know, Tosa says, it makes no sense. You're not Yotze the mitzvah. But that's what everyone does, you know. The Welt does like that, you know. The Welt fears a Zayu or whatever. So I remember my uncle Julius Berman said that one time in yeshiva in YU, Rav Salvechik was here for Shabbos, and Rav Salvechik spoke at Shalosh Shudas, and his whole shir that he gave at Shalosh Shudas, he spoke Lamdus at Shalosh Shudas, I guess, and the whole shir that he gave was about, in order to be motzi other people, you need to be mesav. You need to be, the Gemara in Brachos talks about how it's not good enough to be standing in place. If you want to be motzi somebody else, to be motzi somebody else, you need to be kavua. So how are you kavei yourself? By doing heseba, because it used to be, when they did heseba, that's the way that you express kavius. Nowadays we express kavius by sitting. That's why, by the way, a number of the Acharonim suggest that you're supposed to sit for Kiddush, because the only way you can be motzi other people in Kiddush is by being kovea yourself. You need a sense of kavius in order to be motzi other people in a mitzvah. So that's what a number of the Acharonim suggest, why the minig is that we sit for Kiddush. The Rishonim seem to assume that we sit for Kiddush. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that the only time you stand for Kiddush is the first night of Sukkot. That in the first night of Sukkot, because you have to make the bracha of Leisha B'Sukkah over Las Yasan, so you say the bracha before you sit, because you got to do it over Las Yasan, so you don't want to sit and then say the bracha. So it turns out that you have to say Kiddush standing up. So the Rambam says, so weird, you're saying Kiddush standing up on the first night of Sukkot. And the Ravid has a Hasaga, and you know what the Hasaga of the Ravid is? The Ravid's Hasaga is not, nah, we stand for Kiddush all the time. The Ravid's Hasaga is, even on Sukkot you should sit for Kiddush. You always sit for Kiddush. Anyway, so that's so the Rishonim assume that you sit. So one of the explanations of why you would sit is because you're being koveya yourself in that space. So Rav Salvechik once gave a shir about how everyone should sit for Avdallah. That Tosos writes in Maseches Brachos that really the proper thing is that you're supposed to sit for Avdallah. And he explained why Tosos assumes that way. And that's the only way to be motzi other people, yidei chavasav. And then it came Eis Shabbos, right? It came Motzei Shabbos, and they daven Mariv, and Rav Salvechik was honored with saying Havdalah for everybody, and Rav Salvechik stood for Havdalah. So all the Talmidim came over to me, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, you just gave a whole shir for an hour explaining why you have to sit for Havdalah to be motzi other people. Why did you stand? And Rav Salvechik said, because my father stood for Avdallah and my grandfather stood for Avdallah, which, by the way, when your last name is Soloveitchik, it means a little bit more than it does when your last name is just about anything else. You know, and he said that that's my tradition, that's my minhag, so that's what we do. So I stand for Avdallah. It doesn't matter that I can give all the lumdus to explain why I'm supposed to sit. So you almost get that vibe from Tosus over here also, that if Shomea Kona is really Ke'ona, so then it's going to be a hefsik. But God the minhag, but you should follow the minhag anyway, do like Rashi says, and stand there silently and listen to the Kedusha, which is what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that's what we do. But Tos says, in principle, you shouldn't be doing that. That's always a question. Whenever you have a ki in Torah, in Halacha, does ki mean similar to or exactly as? Right? Is Shomea Ke'ona? Is it Mamish Ona? Is it exactly as Ona? Or is it no? Shomea is Ke'ona. It's Ona-ish. You know, it's similar to, but it's not quite like being Ona. So Rashi seems to be assuming that Shomea Ke'ona, it's Ona-ish, but it's you're not actually saying words, and therefore you're not actually you're not actually being mafsik, and it's perfectly fine. Whereas Tulsa seems to work with the assumption that no, Shomea Ke'ona means that it's Mamish Ona, and therefore it's going to be a hefsik. So Beis Yosef quotes this Machlokas Rashi and Tulsa, and you would think that in Machlokas Rashi and Tulsa, where Tulsa gave up, you know, Tulsa says, I concede, it's Minug. I don't know why Tos didn't say that about tefillin, right? I mean, that's the big question of why it is Rabbeinu Tam tefillin are different than Rashi tefillin. Like, what do they have in their tefillin? So different approaches to that. We're not going to get into that right now. But anyway, so you would think if Tosus gave up, there's nothing to talk about. Beis Yosef's job should be easy. You know, okay, that should be how we paskin. But then Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'davar shetalui ba'amudei olam, ein lanu koach lachriya b'neim. Uda avid kemar avad. Also unusual, he says, these Gedolei Achronim are arguing about it. How could I be Machria? Gedolei Rishonim, they're arguing about it. How could I be Machria? They're not arguing. Tosus gave up. Tosus said that'll do what Rashi says. That's Gadol Aminuk. Tosus didn't agree with that in principle, and therefore, David Kamara, you could choose whichever way you want. Ubavachi Chavin Liba L'Shamayim, which is also always tricky. When do you say that? When do you say David Kamara, that you get to choose? And when do you say, no, you got to buy paskin. You have to. It's always very hard to like formulate exact rules when it comes to psak halacha. You know, there are attempts to do so, and there are certain general klalei psak. But when you get to the prate pratim, it's very hard. Someone was just asking me yesterday, as a Talmud of Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita, do you have to paskin every single shaila exactly the way Rav Schachter would paskin? And if so, how come people in your shul drink milk? You know, like things like that. So the answer is no, you don't have to. But when do you have to? When don't you have to? It's not so easy to come up with rules of exactly when you should, when you shouldn't. I mean, usually it's when you think if you learn through the sugya and you feel like you have an understanding of the sugya and why this posek says that way and the other posek says the other way, and even though you have a netiya toward your rebbe, certainly to your more nota in that direction. But if there are a lot of compelling reasons to go in the other direction and you feel that you understand the sugya very well, so you're allowed to paskin the other way. We once asked Rav Schachter, when do you paskin like Rav Soloveitchik? And when do you paskin against Rav Soloveitchik? So it was such a funny line. He responded. He said, I think when Rav Soloveitchik is correct, we paskin like Rav Soloveitchik. And when Rav Soloveitchik is incorrect, we paskin against Rav Soloveitchik. Meaning that I have a brain also, so I'm allowed to study the sugya and come out. I mean, not just a brain. Rav Schachter is obviously higiel or ra'a, and then some. So he has every right to paskin the shaila also. He doesn't have to be kafuf on every issue. But sometimes you say David Kamara of David Kamara. Sometimes you say you have to paskin. So anyway, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simin Kuf Dalid, Eino Posek, Lo Lekadosh, Velo Lekedusha. You're not supposed to stop in order to answer Kadosh and Kedusha. Ela Yishtok V'Yechavin L'Masha Omer Shliach Tzibur V'Yehei Ki'on. You should just sit, stand there quietly and listen, have kavana, and that's Ki'ona. And that way you yotzei the chiyuv of Kaddish and Kedusha, even though it doesn't count as a hafsik. That's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? So, as we explained, Rav Yosef Engel puts good, lishonos to it. Rav Yosef Engel was, I don't think I ever heard of Rav Yosef Engel until I came to YU, until I came to Rav Schachter Shir, after Karen Biavna. Maybe Rav Silver quoted Rav Yosef Engel a few times, and I just don't remember. But Rav Yosef Engel, Rav Schachter is a big fan. He loves to quote Rav Yosef Engel. So Rav Yosef Engel, has two different kinds of svarim. He has svarim that are just like chidushim, chidushim and shas or whatever, gilyonei hashas, which are also interesting and a little bit out of the box. Then he's got like way out of the box. He's got like these essays that are topics that no one even thought to write about before, and he made up topics and he showed how they're really topics in halacha, and he had this total mastery of all of nigla and nistar, and then when he thought of a chakira that no one thought of, and he said, oh, I could think of 26 rayas, 18 in this direction and 8 in the other direction, and he sort of left you hanging at the end a lot of times. But so Rav Yosef Engel, Tziyunim LaTorah, discusses this issue, and he writes that the mechulakim bazeh, the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is about this. Ihad shamei kona kavana da ona bidibur da have ki ona bidiburo memela have afsik, or kavana rak didino ka ona beetzem hashmia kimo sheyotzim ba'aniya. Aval ina shmia chashuv aniya klal. Is it that when you hear, that is ki'ilu, you are saying? So what he's doing, that's you. You're doing it now. The guy reading the Megillah is the one that's actually reading, but you're reading too because you're listening. Or is it no, that the chiddush of Shomei Kohen is just like reading the Megillah is enough to be yotzei the mitzvah, hearing the Megillah is also considered an aniyah. It's considered to be like reading the Megillah. And Rashi would obviously assume the second way, that it's not that you're actually being oneh, because that would be a hafsik, but hearing the Megillah is ki aniyah. And that's a similar machlokas that they have between the Beis Halevi and the Chazanish in the Gedr of Shomei Kohen. Beis Halevi says that if you hear something, it's considered ki'ilu, you yourself are oneh. And he says, therefore, there's no din of Shomei Kohen by Birchas Kohanim. What do you mean, no Dinah Shemei Kohanim Birchas? Of course there's Dinah Shemei Kohanim Birchas. We all listen to the Birchas Kohanim and we get blessed. No, Beis Halevi was discussing a different topic. Beis Halevi was talking about that there was a community that someone visited once, And they noticed that there was only all the Kohanim would go up to Duchen, and only one Kohen would actually Duchen. You know, a lot of times in the community they have a hard time, the Kohanim have a hard time agreeing on what the proper niggun is to sing during Birchas Kohanim. Everyone's niggun, they swear, came from the Beis HaMikdash, right? That they, you know, that's the only one that has a real tradition, and the other one is wrong. But Lemaisa, you have different minhagim of what to sing, and sometimes with our mixed communities, you know, where we come from all different parts of Europe, and we all ended up, you know, in North Woodmere, let's say, you know, we have all these different practices. I guess you have in Eretz Yisrael, with even more so with the, like Mamish, Kibbutz Golios, that we see happening in front of our eyes. My son Shalvim told me that the Minigin Yeshiva there, which I do not understand, but the Minigin Yeshiva there is that what Nusach do they daven in Yeshiva? Whatever the Shliach Tzibur decides. You know, if a Sfardi guy gets up and davens for the oven, so it's Sephardic that day. If Nusach Sfard does it, so it's Nusach Sfard that day. If an Ashkenazi, so because how do you handle Kibbutz Galios? How do you handle all these different minhagim? So anyway, so with this community that the Beis HaLevi is discussing, came up with the following chap. They decided that they're going to have one Kohen do all the Birchas Kohanim, and the other Kohanim will just stand there. You know, they'll have their hands, you know, with the thing, and they'll stand there and they'll listen, and they'll be Yotzei Birchas Kohanim Shomei Kohanim. Says Beis HaLevi, doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because Shomei Kohanim doesn't mean that what he's doing is me doing it. Meaning that what the guy is saying it is that I'm saying it. Shomei Kohanim is a chiddush that it's ki'ilu I said words, but it's not ki'ilu I said the words as he is saying them. Meaning, there is a din by Birchas Kohanim that it's supposed to be called Ram. It's supposed to be Kadam Amar Al Chavero. He's supposed to be engaging the Tzibur. That's why Rav Shechter, I once asked Rav Shechter, I know that he holds, you probably all know that Rav Shechter holds that you're allowed to, and most poskim really hold if you really ask them, that you're allowed to look during Birchas Kohanim. The whole thing of like schwitzing under your father's talus or whatever, right? That's like an old minhag from when the Kohanim used to stick their hands out of the talus. But the Kohanim don't do that anymore. They keep their hands inside the talus. The Kohanim always keep their hands inside the talus. So you're not seeing anything anyway. So you're allowed to look during Birchas Kohanim. In fact, when I first learned the halachas of Birchas Kohanim, I started looking so I could identify which Kohanim needed the tutorial on the halachas of Birchas Kohanim. A lot of the Kohanim were doing it all wrong. They were holding their hands incorrectly in the wrong place. They were lifting their hands over their head, over their shoulders. So you're not supposed to do any of that. It's supposed to be straight up. Anyway, so so you're allowed to look. So I asked Rav Shechter, okay, you're allowed to look, but why do you have to do it? Meaning, obviously, it's not what everybody else is doing. So it's like a mitzvah to be different. You have to mamish look straight ahead. It's going to be weird for a lot of people to see that. So I didn't ask him in such a chutzpah diktov. I'm terrified of Talmidei Chacham. When I talk to them, I just sit and sit through the whole time. But I asked, so why are you dafka knowing that way? So he said, because that's proper derech eretz. Someone's giving you a bracha. You're supposed to look at them. That's why the amsha achari kohanim are not yotz. You shouldn't be behind the kohanim. You have to make sure that you're in front of them. It's face to face. They say b'kol ram. So says the Beis HaLevi, the Kohen who's saying the brachos out loud may be motzi the other Kohanim in saying the brachos, that it's Shomei HaKohen, but it's not Ke'ona B'Kol Ram. So the Etzem Ashtika is considered Aniya, but it's not considered, so the Beis HaLevi would work with Tosos, that the Shtika and Shmona Esrei and hearing Kaddish and Kedusha would be a Hefsik, because it is saying the words. It's just, you just don't have the additional details of how to say the words. That's why there's a practice in many places that when it comes to Aseres Bnei Haman, the Ragachavar writes, that when it comes to Aseres Bnei Haman, they say it B'Neshima Achas, that the whole Tzibur, not just the Balkore, the whole Tzibur says it B'Neshima Achas. Everyone reads the Aseres Bnei Haman by themselves. Shomei HaKohen, Yotze with the Baal Tefillah anyway. No, I'm yet with the Balkore anyway. Yotzi with the Balkore that he's reading the Megillah, but are Yotzi Nishima Achas? Nishima Achas is a how-to. Maybe you're not Yotzi that way. Whereas the Chazon Ish writes that the Gedder of the Din in Aruch Chaim Simul Chavtas, the Chazon Ish writes that the Gedder of the Din of Shomei Kone is his Lashon, his Achtus HaShomea VaHamashmia. The Shomea and Mashmia are linked. That through Arvus, the dibur of the mashmia is a mitzvah on the shomeya. So by hearing his his dibur, you are misachid, you are linking up with his statement, and you're therefore yotze through shomea ka'one. So it's not that I'm actually saying anything, it's that what he's doing counts for me. And that's how they explain that the Chazon Ish and the Beis Halevi may be arguing in this exact machlokas. Rashi and tells us exactly how to understand Shomei HaKodesh. So where does that bring us as far as Megillah is concerned? The woman's in the middle of Shmon Esrei, and she listens to the entirety of the Megillah. So is she Yotzei? So I don't see any reason that she should not be Yotzei the Megillah. I actually came across a tshuva written in more contemporary times from a sefer that I was not familiar with. But nevertheless, it was an interesting tshuva. What was the name of the sefer? The name of the sefer was called Madane Yom Tov, but a contemporary Madane Yom Tov. So I'm not sure which Madane Yom Tov it is, who exactly it is. But in this sefer, he was asked about a Bachur Yeshiva that had a similar situation to this young lady, but a little bit different. You see, there's a difference between a boy's mindset and a girl's mindset. That's the understatement of there are many differences between a boy's mindset and a girl's mindset. When I taught in a boys' high school for 18 years, I never taught in a girls' high school, but a lot of my chaverim were teaching in SKA while I was teaching in DRS, and they pointed out that if you give a lot of work, you give like an assignment with a lot of work to do, so boys have the girls will always figure out how to plan to make sure that they get their work done, to make sure that they diligently work to make sure that the work gets done. Boys will diligently work to figure out how to not have to do the work. They'll put in all the same amount of time in order to figure out how to not have to do the work. So different mindsets. So this young lady that we asked the Shaila about, she stopped and listened diligently to the entire Megillah. The young man in the Shaila, in the Madane Yom Tov, in Chela Gimel Simen Pei Dalet, it was a ma'aseh b'bachar echad shespal shmon esrei b'leil purim v'herich b'tfilaso v'al balkori hischil lukra megillah. Exactly the same situation. Habachar lo yada ma la'asot. He didn't know what should I do. V'lachein himshich l'espalel. He decided to keep on davening. V'gam iskavim l'kol mila u'mila sheshamim balkori. And at the same time that he was davening, he was also listening to every word from the balkori. He finished his davening when the Balkori was two prakim into the Megillah, and he continued listening to the Megillah until the end. So he wants to know, now was I yotzei my mitzvah when I heard the Megillah from while I was davening Shmona Esrei? That's a different mindset. He thinks he's able to have kavanah for both, that he hears every single word, even as, and I bet as I'm saying it, talking to Bachram now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I could do that. That's no problem. So that's not really the way. Something's not happening the way it's supposed to happen, right? Either Kriyas HaMegillah or Shmona Esrei, or my bet, both are not happening the way it's supposed to happen if you're trying to do both at the same time. So that was his shaila. So in the shaila, Madani Yom Tov, he discusses whether, you know, he gets to the whole thing. Is it ka'one manish when you're shamea, and therefore it's like you're being mafsik b'diburo? So he gets into the whole discussion. At the end, he says, Ayotzi Ladina, if you're davening Shmon Esrei and you heard the Balkare, Sarkis Megillah, and you listen to every single word of the Megillah, while you continue, Mistaver, Shalo Yotzi Yidei Chavos HaMegillah. Because how can you be Yotzi? Tu Chiyuvim Bebasachas. It can't be. You're not Yotzi Kriyas HaMegillah. Great, that's for that guy who continued to daven Shmona Esrei. So I agree that he's not Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah in such a situation. But someone who stopped and listened, so I think there's no doubt that the woman is Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah, right? L'chora, there's no doubt that she's Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah. The bigger shaila is she Yotzei Shmona Esrei? Right, is the hefsek considered enough of a hefsek that she's going to have to daven Shmona Esrei again? So that really gets a little bit tricky, because we discussed if you have Kaddish, Kedusha, something like that. What about other things that are mafsek in the middle of Shmona Esrei? Meaning other things might come up in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Do we say the same thing, that if you silently listen, you're supposed to silently listen, and if you do, that it's going to work? In Halicha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in Kriyas HaTorah, Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, Perek Dalid, Halacha Dalid, he writes, Ha'omid b'tfilah Shmona Esrei v'yigiyat tzibur l'kriyas HaTorah lo yafsik tfilah sakti l'shmona kriya. Don't be mafsik to hear Kriyas HaTorah in the middle. Why not? I thought you're allowed to be mafsik and listen. as long as you don't say anything. So he writes, the hefsik gadol kazeh in roi lasos b'shas tefilaso, because you shouldn't have such a hefsik right in the middle of your Shemone Esrei. V'gam kishasim atfila in alav chiyuv b'kagav nalahashim shmiras kris ha-tar minin acher, but you are yotzei. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to be yotzei. In Hilchos Nesias Kapayim, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, or it was written in his name, it's very reliable, Rabbi Goldberg, who wrote the Adi Chashlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman's grandson, is one of the more reliable versions of Taurus Rav Shlomo Zalman that didn't come from Rav Shlomo Zalman himself. There are a lot of different svarim of Rav Shlomo Zalman's Torah, you know, some more, whatever, but Halicha Shlomo is a very well-respected sefer. So, Yachara Omeid B'Shmona Esrei, V'Igiyah Shatz L'Birchs Kohanim, Yishtok V'Yichav in the Berchas. Birchs Kohanim, you should be shosek and listen. Why? So he says, because it's a mitzvah on the Bnei Yisrael to be misbarech, so you should take advantage of that mitzvah saseh and be misbarech. That's always a question. When you have someone who's able to do a mitzvah, but they cannot do that, and you have no chiyuv in the mitzvah, but they cannot do the mitzvah without you. So do you, by definition, become a chiyuv in the mitzvah? Right? Is there such a thing, that there's a mitzvah on Yisraelim to be misbarech from Kohanim? Kohanim have a mitzvah to be mevarich, but if there are no Yisraelim, they're going to be listening, and there's no one to be mevarich. It's similar to whenever I talk to Chasan and Kala about Pruravu. So I always say, you have a mitzvah Pruravu, turning to the Chasan, and I say, it's your mitzvah, you're mechuyev in this mitzvah Pruravu. And I turn to the Kala and say, but he's going to have a very hard time fulfilling the mitzvah without your help. So that's a shaila. Does she become a mechuyev bedavar on some level because she's unable to, because he's unable to do the mitzvah without without that help? So a hefsik in Shemoneh Esrei, apparently Rosh Hashanah said, if it's going to be a major hefsik, you probably shouldn't do it. You probably shouldn't pause for that long in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch we paskin, I forgot to take a Shulchan Aruch out before, but in Shulchan Aruch we paskin, if I recall correctly, Shulchan Aruch says that if you're mafsik kedei ligmar skula, that's a hefsik in your Shemoneh Esrei. And how do you measure kedei ligmar skula? So the Shulchan Aruch himself writes, I think it's not even Mishabur, I think the Shulchan Aruch itself writes that kedei ligmar skula is kafi each person. That, you know, some people daven a very long Shemoneh Esrei, so that's kedei ligmar skula. There's going to be a much longer time than a person who davens a very quick Shemoneh Esrei. Rav Asher Weiss was just telling us yesterday that his Rebbe, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, you were never able to predict. Like, sometimes it would be like an 8-minute Shemoneh Esrei, sometimes it would be a 48-minute Shemoneh Esrei. Like, you were never, it was, because he davened like someone talking. So sometimes you have a lot to beg Hashem about. He would also, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, just like start speaking Yiddish and talking to Hashem. So that's an interesting discussion. Rav Meir Arik has a tshuva about whether you're allowed to do that. They say the Kleisenberg Rebbe was one who asked him that shaila, because that was his practice. He used to do that all the time. He'd be like, Heilig Abbas Shefer, like right in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Not so much our style, but So at the end of the day, for this shaila, she waited kedei ligmar skula. I would think she's not yotzei Shemoneh Esrei because she waited kedei ligmar skula, even with her very slow Shemoneh Esrei. It takes a while to read the Megillah, so if she waited kedei ligmar skula, I would think that she's not yotzei Shemoneh Esrei. So she is yotzei kriyas Megillah. Should she have done that? Probably not. Probably the right answer in that situation is to keep davening Shemoneh Esrei and go catch kriyas Megillah at a later minyan or at a later place. It's annoying, because you know you woke up early to daf go to this minyan, you don't want to have to go to another minyan. Okay, Jews have been most of nefesh in even bigger ways than that in the history of our people, and you know, sometimes that's what you have to do, because that's the halacha. So I would think that that's the proper thing, to say Shemoneh Esrei again, not have to lay Megill again. But had she known in advance, the right thing to do probably would have been to finish the Shemoneh Esrei, be Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei, and then be Karim hear Megillah from someone else later. Okay, do we want to open up the floor to questions, or did we, was I supposed to, there was something else I was supposed to do. I'll talk about Ben Azmanim a little bit, should I? You tell me.
Yeah, but can I quickly ask a question on what Rebbe just said?
Yeah, sure.
We said that the Shemoneh Esrei, she's not going to be Yotze. Would it make a difference, since she's a woman, her chiyuv of Shemoneh Esrei is different than that of a man, and also would it make a difference if it's morning as opposed to night, where she already davened once, so her din of tefillah would be a little different?
Meaning whether she's mechuyev to go back and do anything might make a difference, but as far as whether she's actually, you know, as far as whether she's actually yotzei, meaning whether it's a hefsik and whether she, meaning if she wants to be yotzei, this happens to have been shachris. So, but if she actually wants to be yotzei davening shachris, so I don't think it makes a difference. I think a hefsik is a hefsik. Either way, a hefsek is going to be a hefsek.
Okay.
difference if she knows she won't be able to catch another Magilla?
That's interesting. Meaning if she knows this is the last Magilla, let's say it's a... right, she lives in a small community, there's no one else that's going to lay in the Megillah, the person who's reading right now, or whatever. Let's say it was Mincha time, it was the end of the day, and that's it. There's not going to be any other Mikra Megillah. Well, Mincha time is a bad example, because then she's sacrificing one or the other. So, yeah, so then it would, that's interesting. Because she's definitely Mechuyev in Mikra Megillah. The Chiyev in Tefillah may not be so strong if she's already davened a little bit. Okay, that's a good wrinkle to add in. I don't know. It's an interesting shaila. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Would there be a difference between the morning and night Megillah reading, one being Jarban and one being Dvarei Kabbalah?
So it's not clear that everyone holds that. I mean, it's pretty clear not everybody holds that way. Even the Nei Behuda like this that the Evan that the Kriyasa Megillah b'Yom is Midivrei Kabbalah, whereas the Kriyasa Megillah b'Night is only Midirabanan. There are many poskim that hold that the Kriya both b'Yom and b'Laila are Midivrei Kabbalah, and others that hold that they're both Midirabanan. It's not abundantly clear that we paskin la halacha that one is Midivrei Kabbalah and one is Midirabanan. What if you arrive late for Marv and have a choice of Megillah first, then Marv? I'm reading the comment in the chat. Oh, sent to me privately. Okay, but I don't think it's a private question. What if you arrive late for Marv and have a choice of Megillah first, then Marv, or Marv then must find another Megillah? Does Marv have to come before Megillah? No, I think you can hear Megillah first in that situation. I think that's the practice, common practice. Okay.
Rebbe mentioned Bin Hazmanim. Just going into Bin Hazmanim, how exactly should one focus on scheduling activities relative to the amount of learning each individual should do?
Yeah, so are you guys, where are you going to be? Are you going to be back in America? Are you going to be in Eretz Yisrael? I think a lot depends on context. If people are in America...
assuming that we're not going back, for the most part, most of us are staying.
Oh, so then you're mamish in control of your own time. So I would always say that to make sure you learn every day, obviously, and the learning every day should be right around Shachar's time, meaning attach it to a tefillah, so that, because the davening you're not going to miss. So if you attach it to a tefillah, then it will be more automatic. That's always a recipe for success. If you were home with your families, where, you know, Rav Rivlin Shlita used to always tell us in yeshiva that before Ben Azmanim, he would say, you know, the Chazal tell us, Ein lecha ben chorin el misha osik b'torah. He said, you know what that means? It means that your mother needs someone to run an errand or to do a chore. And she's like, but this one's busy, that one's busy, this one's doing homework. Oh, you're just learning. You're not doing anything. You're free. The person is Osik B'Torah. He's the Ben Chorin. So he can do all the, run all the errands. And okay, you have to stop learning to do Kibra Veim. But I would say to do most of your learning outside of the house in general. Find the Beis Medrash. And then when you come back from the Beis Medrash, you'll do all of the errands. But yeah, I think the key to learning, you do have to make sure that you have some downtime, that you relax a little bit. It's been, I haven't experienced what you've experienced this year, but I imagine it's been somewhat stressful. And I know that Chorev Zman is long, even when there's only one Adar. It's a long, long Zman, and especially with the monotony of not going out as much as you normally would for a Shabbos, or, you know, seeing other people outside of your Dalet Amos. So I think Ben Azmanim could be a time to really recharge and to really be mechazi yourself. So you learn every day, but make sure you have some time to relax also. So I would just make sure that learning happens in the, I think, connected to Shachar, so that you start off the day right, because when you start off the day bad, you start off the day with a lot of batala, you end up just getting down on yourself, and then when a person is sad, they end up accomplishing a lot less. When you're happy and you feel good about yourself, you'll accomplish a lot more, and the best way to feel good about yourself is starting your day right. So if you're going to be attending a 7 o'clock Shachar's minyan, so have a either a 6 o'clock Seder Limud or an 8 o'clock Seder Limud. You know, that you make sure that you start your day right.
Scott, thank you very much, Rabbi.
My pleasure. Okay, continue. Hatzlacha, everybody. Again, wish I could be there with you guys in person, but Hatzlacha Rabba in all of your continued growth in Torah and Yerushalayim.